Satvam na darshayatmanam asmatkarana gocharam prapannanam didrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam
sasmitam te mukham bhujam
satvam na darshayatmanam
Asmatkarana gocharam,
Asmatkarana gocharam,
visible by our direct senses,
visible by our direct senses,
especially by our eyes,
especially by our eyes,
prapannana,
prapannana,
we are all surrendered unto you,
we are all surrendered unto you,
didrikshuna,
didrikshuna,
yet we wish to see you,
yet we wish to see you,
sasmita,
sasmita,
smiling,
smiling,
te,
your,
mukha ambuja,
ambuja,
lotus-like face,
lotus-like face.
Translation A purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and your smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. Poor Paul. The devotees are always eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form, with His smiling, lotus-like face. They are not interested in experiencing the impersonal form. The Lord has both impersonal and personal features. The impersonalists have no idea of the personal feature of the Lord, but Lord Brahma and the members of His disciplic succession want to see the Lord in His personal form. Without a personal form, there can be no question of a smiling face, which is clearly indicated here by the words, Sasmitam te mukham bhujanam. Those who are in Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of God. They are eager to realize the Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature. As clearly stated here, Asmatkarana Gocharam, the personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses. Srila Prabhupada ki. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavaya Desha Tarini Vanchakalpatarujascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Satvam no darshayatmanam asmatkarana gocharam prapannanam didrikshanam didrikshunam sasmitam timukam bhujam. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our all the other senses. So here Srila Prabhupada stresses that the ultimate desire of Lord Brahma, who offers these beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord, is to see Him face to face. In the beginning of this particular story, it was said that Lord Brahma didn't really see the Lord. He knew that He exists. And any sane person knows that Lord exists, if he is little sane. Anyone knows that Lord does exist, but not many people happen to see Him. Not many people happen to experience personal interaction with Him. So, coming to the shore of the Milk Ocean, Lord Brahma started offering His prayers to the Supreme Lord, which is foundation of His further experience. Ultimately, these prayers and the meaning of these prayers is to enable one to see the Lord. First, you have to be really clearly established in Sambandha Gyan. And these prayers of Lord Brahma and other demigods presented here in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam basically explain Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of existence. That everything is coming from the Lord. He is the source of everything that is. He is the cause of all causes. He is Sarva Karana Karana. And Lord Brahma stresses this again and again and again. Because unless we understand this simple point, that there is a root of all existence, and everything is stemming from this root, you will not be able to surrender to the Lord. And surrender is the preliminary condition for us to see the Lord. First we have to surrender, then we have to see. But before we will be able to surrender, we have to understand that the Lord is great. Srila Prabhupada used to say that everyone knows the Lord is great. Again, those who know that the Lord exists, those who know that Lord is there, they know the Lord is great. But Srila Prabhupada used to say that nobody knows how great He is. So our experience in spiritual life is entirely based on this understanding of the greatness of the Lord. It is also explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know that the ultimate achievement in the spiritual life is to experience smiling face of the Lord or His love. is madhurya rasa, his sweet aspect. And it's exactly what Lord Brahma is asking, what he is eager, what he is desiring. He says here, didrikshunam. Didrikshunam, it's a desirative form of the Sanskrit word. I'm eager to see you. I want to see you. What do I want to see? Your smiling face. Well, we see the smiling face of Lord Jagannath. And his smile represents his mercy. Lord Jagannath is the complete, full manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And it's very interesting, because what is Supreme Lord? Who is he? First of all, he is all-knowing, right? Therefore, he has what? Big eyes. His eyes are very big. He can see everything. And then he's all-powerful. He is controlling everything. Therefore, he has what? Big arms. And with these arms, he is controlling everything. And then he is all-pervading. It means that he doesn't have any legs, because he's all-pervading. He doesn't have any place to go, right? And then he's all-merciful. Therefore, he's smiling so nicely. So, these all aspects of the Lord are there, but ultimately, here, specifically, Lord Brahma is begging the Lord to see his smiling face, to experience his mercy or his madhurya. But as I said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is very clearly said that yes, madhurya is the ultimate achievement of the spiritual life. Yes, the ultimate goal of spiritual life is to experience mercy of the Lord, is to experience his pleasing feature as a person, to smile with him, to joke with him, to, you know, to eat some breakfast with him, or to share some intimate dealings with him. But in order to achieve this, and it is very clearly said by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, first you have to have a clear, solid foundation of Aishwarya Gyan. And Aishwarya Gyan means Samvarna Gyan. You cannot have the experience of the mercy of the Lord, or his maturity feature, or his full manifestation of his personality, of himself as a person, unless and until you understand his greatness. And that's exactly what's going on in these prayers. First, Brahma, before he dares to ask the Lord to appear in front of him in his personal features with the smiling face, first he proves to the Lord, yes, I know you're great. Yes, I know you're the source of everything. Yes, I know you're the source of myself. Yes, I know you're the source of all the powers which we as demigods have. This understanding, this deep realization is extremely important, because without this, our experience, even if we try to squeeze ourselves to achieve this personal interaction with the Lord, it will be all joke. It will be just a cheap imitation. Sahaji, yeah, oh my dear Lord, yes, 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 right. Hare Krishna. No, first you have to be established that He is God. He is God, and you have to surrender unto Him. Again, the surrendering process, which is expressed here in this prayer, is extremely important for us to have or to gain the experience of love. It is explained by Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam that doinya, or complete utter humility, complete total self-forgetfulness, when we dedicate ourselves 100% to the service of the Lord, when we completely forget about our own selfish, little, tiny, stupid desires. This is the root of prema. It is very clearly said by Sanatana Goswami when Narada Muni explains to Gop Kumar how to achieve prema. He says, first you have to achieve doinya. And doinya means utter surrender. When there's no more all this, you know, foolishness in our head. No more stupid desires which are lingering there. Just only one desire. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. I want to experience the sweetness of the Lord. And this is the key to open the personal feature of the Lord. This is the only way for us to understand that the Lord is the person. Ultimately, yes, that's what we all desire, that's what we all should desire. And this is the, again, the highest achievement, but this achievement is not at all cheap. It is explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada in his purport to the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord Kurma is glorified. That ultimately here in front of this milk ocean, on the shore of the milk ocean, the demigods are praying for the Lord to appear. And the Lord will appear in his roop as Kurma, in his tortoise form, as Kurmadev. And we know the innermost purpose of Kurma to appear. He had some itching within his shell. And he wanted to relieve himself from this itching. Therefore, he appeared in this form of gigantic tortoise, and the whole huge Mandara mountain was placed upon him, and demigods and demons together were, you know, really trying hard to relieve him from his itching, because the itching of the Lord is great as the Lord himself. The Lord is great, and therefore his itching is also really hard. And to relieve him from his itching, this whole, you know, arrangement of the churning of the milk ocean was set into motion by himself. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada very interestingly explains the nature of this itching. What is this itching? Why? You know, and somebody can ask, you know, what kind of Lord it is when he has itching, you know. You know, this is really inconceivable. This is only Vaishnava conception, you know. Everyone else will say, no, God cannot have itching, you know. God cannot have a smile on his face. God cannot have this, that. No, God can, why not? You know, but when he has itching, this itching is also transcendental. It's totally purely spiritual itching. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that this itching is the disturbance which is created by the theories and conceptions of impersonalists, who ultimately say, you have no form. My dear Lord, yes, we surrender unto you, you are just impersonal Brahman. And he says, that creates a terrible itching within the Lord. When people say this, he becomes really irritated. And to get a relief from these stupid conceptions, he takes a form of a big tortoise. And this tortoise, again, this form of the Lord is a representation of the Lord as the foundation of everything, you know. And then the demons and demigods, they place this huge Mandara mountain just to show to the Lord that, yes, you have the form. Yes, when we forget this simple point that ultimately Lord is the person, then we try to deny his personal existence, his nam. Because what person is? Person means nam. Person means rupa. Person means guna, his beautiful qualities. And ultimately person means lila. Ultimately person means pastimes. Ultimately person means adventures. But when we forget about this, then itching comes to our head. The itching of our selfish material desires. When we understand that the Lord is the person, and that the ultimate pleasure in life, ultimate bliss in life is to have personal interaction with the Lord, then there is no itching within our head. We are peaceful. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayava Shanta. If you want to have peace, total, complete peace and happiness within your heart, then you have to understand that, yes, the Lord is smiling. He's smiling at you. He is seeing you and he's smiling at you. And when you see him and smile at him, you become immediately peaceful. You laugh at the Lord and you smile at Him because He's smiling at you. You know, you have to reciprocate with His smile. You know, this is just the way to be polite. So you look at Him and He looks at you and you smile and you become peaceful. All desires evaporate from your heart. But if you forget about this, that the Lord is a person, that He has His personal will, His personal desire, personal smile, personal plan for your life, and then you become totally disturbed within your mind. And the terrible itching of material desires appears within your heart. And another explanation of this incarnation of the Lord as a tortoise, as kurma, death, again given by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, is that when kurma death is being scratched in his back by the demigods and demons, you know, it's a really grandiose endeavor, you know, it's big arrangement, you know, all scratching his back. And when he is breathing with relief, you know, the Lord is very peacefully breathing because he's happy, you know. Finally, you know, somebody is scratching my back. So this breeze of relief of the Lord cools down the itching of our material desires. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada says that the breathing of the Lord, and its general expression, that the Vedas, the hymns of the Vedas, mantras of the Vedas, is the breathing of the Lord. When we chant mantras of Srimad Bhagavatam, or mantras of Rig Veda, or whatever, it's the sound vibration which is originally coming from the Lord. And when we chant these mantras, which is breathing of the Lord personified, then we can feel, again, relief from our selfish material desires, from the fire of material desires. Ultimately, this is the way for the Lord to protect us. This 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, together with the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, represent, according to Srimad Bhagavatam himself, represent the personal form of the Lord. Again, the Lord is a person. Person means form. And form means, you know, his interaction with this world and with us as well. So Srimad Bhagavatam is his person, his personification of the Lord. And 7th and 8th canto is the arms of this form. Because if you have the form, any human form, any God's form, because we are created in His image, has to have form, has to have arms. So the 7th and 8th canto, it's also very interesting to understand the place of the story about milk ocean. They represent the arms. And what do the arms do? Arms, they protect, they give and they take. Basically, this is the way for protection of the Lord. It is explained in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Poshanam tadanugraham. Sukadev Goswami, when he explains 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that poshanam, or protection of the Lord, how the Lord protects us, and ultimately, what He has to protect us from. He has to protect us not from the demons outside. Of course, this is also good, but ultimately He has to protect us from the demons of material desires which are inside us. That's the main protection which the Lord has to supply to us. And Sukadev Goswami, explaining in brief the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are being explained in Srimad Bhagavatam himself, he says, poshanam tadanugraham. Poshanam, or protection of the Lord, means His mercy. And His mercy manifests in the way of Him giving and taking away. And when we see this 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a protection of the surrendered soul. Protection of the Lord is the reciprocation with our surrender unto Him. When this desire to surrender unto Him, which is called faith, Jiva Goswami explains very clearly that faith or Shraddha means this desire to surrender unto Lord. When we have this faith that Lord does exist, together with this faith immediately goes desire to surrender unto Him completely. And surrender to Him means to take His shelter, to take His protection. So when this desire within our heart appears, arise within our heart to surrender unto the Lord and desire to get, to obtain His protection, then the Lord reciprocates with this protection. And His reciprocation with our protection is, you know, He gives us something and He takes away something. You know, and sometimes when we expect that His protection will be in the form of giving, He provides a protection in the form of taking away, and vice versa. Why? Sometimes we cannot understand how the Lord protects us. Again, this is a very important topic of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially the 7th and 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because in the 7th canto we can see how the Lord gives His kind protection to Prahlad Maharaj, and how the Lord takes away the life of Hiranyakashipu, you know, how the Lord takes His intestine from his belly and puts him on his body. And in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam we can see Gajendra. Again, Gajendra, his desire to surrender and the reciprocation of the Lord in the form of coming on Garuda and protecting him from this danger of material existence. And this story of the churning of the milk ocean is again about giving and taking away. And then again, of course, Bali Maharaj is a great story. He's completely surrendered soul. He is the manifestation, personification of self-surrender, Atmanivedana. He is the one who attained perfection through self-surrender. And what did he receive as a result of this self-surrender? The Lord took away from him everything. He took everything from him very happily. You know, you surrendered, yes. Yasyaham anugrihnami tad dhanam harishyei tad, what is this? Harishyei. Whatever. The Lord is the Hari. Hari means thief. Hari means he's snatching away something unwanted, something which is not necessary for us. Again, because he's the person. Because he's the person, his mercy can come to us in any way he desires. If he wants to give us the mercy in the form of giving to us something, money or whatever, this may be mercy, but it's a dangerous kind of mercy. But when he takes away everything, this is a complete mercy. This is total, complete manifestation of Lord's mercy. You know? And then you become totally happy, because when you don't have anything, you don't have any worries, you don't have any problems anymore, the Lord snatched away all your problems, all your worries, all your anxieties, and you're very happy. Somebody told me that in Malaysia, there are many local Indians, but they worship Lord Brahma, and sometimes Lord Shiva, and they don't want to worship Krishna. And there is a saying there that Lord Krishna is very dangerous to worship him, because when you worship Lord Krishna, he has a flute. You know, and then he blows in his flute with this air of the Lord blowing in the flute. He will blow away all your wealth. And here you are. So don't worship him. If you want to be wealthy, don't worship him. Yes, the Lord may take away, but when He takes away, He only takes away unwanted things. When He knows that you really need something, He gives this, He provides. He says this Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. You know, those who constantly think about Me, I provide them what they need. I give them. Yes, I may take temporarily, but ultimately I give them more. We can see this in the lives of Srila Prabhupada, we can see this in the life of Bali Maharaj. Yes, Lord took from him everything. He took his fame, he took his wealth, he took everything completely, totally, mercilessly. And then he said, yes, I need more. You know, this is not enough. You know? And he gave his head And the Lord says, no, this is false ego, you know. This is ridiculous, you know. Your head anyway don't belong to you, so. But then he gave him everything. And he himself became his guard, his basically his servant and katalaloka. And in a similar way, this is inconceivable way of the mercy of the Lord. Yes, the Lord is there. His smiling face is there. He is ready to give us all protection and all the mercy. It's up to us to develop the strong desire. And the strong desire is coming when our understanding that the Lord is the source of everything, that the Lord is the root of everything, when this understanding is coming to our head and the strong desire to get His protection, to surrender unto Him, again comes to our heart. And with this desire, and it's not enough, with this desire we have to understand and we have to really develop the desire of personal interaction with the Lord, the desire of His sweet mercy, of His sweetness. And with this desire, there should be also complete, total, this desire has to be unconditional. When we really want to experience ultimate sweetness of the Lord, we have to develop this complete, unconditional kind of desire that in whatever shape or form you want to send me your mercy, I am ready to accept it. This is the ultimate mood of surrender. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he explains the most perfect state of human consciousness, prana, he says, Aslisyava padaratam pinastu mama darshanam marmahatam karotuva yathatathava vidadatu lampato matprananathastu saeva nafara. You can appear in front of me, or you can embrace me, or you can completely trample upon me. You can give me everything, or you can take everything away from me. I am always your servant. I know your lampata. Lampata means a debauchee. Lampata means somebody who is fickle in his mind. Lampata means who is, you know, has so many different, you know, things going on the side. You know, he has so many things. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, your lampata, I know. Yes, I don't expect anything good from you, yes. But I am your servant. Life after life after life. This is because this is my position. This is my nature. This is the sweetness which is there available for me. I have to be surrendered to you completely. And it means that I have to be ready to accept your mercy in any shape or form which you want to give to me. And if your mercy will come to me in a seemingly cruel way, as a death, as untimely death, then I have to embrace this as your mercy. You know, like recently, just a couple of weeks ago, I visited His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj in his final pastimes. And I saw him, how happy he was. You know, it's amazing what Prabhupada gave to us. Prabhupada, I was thinking about this recently, I was reading all these reports on journal about Bhaktitirtha Maharaj's departure from this world. And this description of the celebration which devotees arranged for Bhaktitirtha Maharaj's departure, you know, the glorious celebration of the ultimate joy and ultimate sadness of separation with this great soul. And I was thinking how great is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. How inconceivable. You know, he gave us the process by which every day of our life can become a festival. It's a complete, total festival. Every day of our life. When you see how Mahadyuti Prabhu is dancing in the kirtan, you know, it's a festival. It's a festival for the eyes. And when you see the beautiful form of the Lord, it's a festival. When you take prasadam, it's a festival. But not only this. Not only this. No any other religion can give you this. Every day of your life can become a real festival. But not only this. Srila Prabhupada gave us the way that even our death can become the festival. And this is totally, completely, absolutely inconceivable. then the death can become the glorious celebration. And then, you know, the death is coming and you're not afraid of your death. You know that this is the merciful, that the manifestation, ultimate manifestation of the mercy of the Lord. He's coming to you to take you to his abode. He's coming to you to give you his shelter, his complete protection, to give you his mercy. And that's what I could experience being near with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I'm by far, I mean, I don't know, but just being near him gave me such a, you know, vivid and life experience of this festival of being Krishna conscious, of seeing the smiling face of the Lord every moment in your life. And this is all available to us. This is all mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He gave us this process by which we can develop very strong desire to see the Lord personally. And then the Lord, for sure, he will reciprocate with us. This is the way of the Lord. You know, even if we, you know, even if we meet somebody and we smile upon him, and if, even if he is the nastiest person in the world, you know, you will have to squeeze out a smile. You know, if you look at somebody and smile, you know, ultimately some smile will appear on his face. So, but if we smile to the Lord, he will smile to us much more. He will be very happy to see our smile. And he will reciprocate with our smile and with our surrender, with our desire to love him, with our desire to achieve him in the most inconceivable way, in the most beautiful and most miraculous way. This is the way Lord is. And this is all available to us. It's just a question, it's up to us basically. If we want to develop this desire, we can develop this desire. And the chanting of the holy name is the way to develop this desire. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then we will be able to hear the sweet breeze of Lord Kurma, who is relieving us from this itching of accepting and rejecting of this sankalpa and vikalpa, which is going on within our mind. And we will be able to see the sweet smile of the Lord and to hear the sweet sound of his flute, to experience the sweet touch of his hands, to experience the sweet taste of his kiss, and to experience the sweet aroma of his beautiful body. That's exactly what Lord Brahma is begging for. He said, let all my senses experience your person. Let all my senses be completely satiated and fulfilled by seeing your smile. And in this way I will attain the perfection of all my desires. And it's very interesting, and this is the last point which I will make, that just in a couple of verses in the next chapter it will be explained that when the Lord appeared, that most of the demigods didn't see him, because the effulgence which was coming, emanating from his body, was so bright that practically everyone was blinded. And only Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva could see the personal features of the Lord. Everyone else was just seeing some bright light. Why? Again, because this is the way of reciprocation of the Lord. Lord Brahma wanted to see his personal feature. Prabhupada explains this in the purport, that this is the disciplic succession of Lord Brahma. I want to see, to experience Lord personally. And therefore he saw him. Everyone else wanted to see his effulgence, and they saw his effulgence. No problem. You want to see his effulgence, his Brahman, you will see his effulgence. If you want to see him personally, you will see him personally. It's up to you. What you want, the Lord will give to you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki
jai.
Om Premanand.
Om Premanand.
His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj Ki.
Jai.